before I open the Word of God, or we open the Word of God today, I just encourage you to bow your heads one more time as we have one more brief word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you speak to our hearts today, Lord, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, that it may not be my understanding or my words, but may it be your words that speak to our hearts and change our hearts. We ask, Lord, that we ask that you fulfill that promise today, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you are with them. And Lord, we thank you for your presence now. We ask for strength and for grace for the areas that need correcting in our lives. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we live in a world today that is attempting to radically change gender roles. And all you need to do is turn on the news today. And in fact, so much so regarding gender roles that I did not come on the line today to speak about ordination or anything like that, but something much more a different subject. But if you look at the world today, the world is trying to wipe out anything regarding distinction in genders. In fact, you even have some people who are born as men claiming to be women, and women who are born as women claiming to be men. You have the feministic movement. You have the homosexuality movement. You have all these movements, and on top of that, you also have a tremendous burden of the media. The media and entertainment and commercials and publishing magazines that you see, even if you don't have a TV, you'll see those magazines when you're walking by a checkout lane at Walmart. And among all this confusion, the question really comes down to, how do we value ourselves? And as I speak on the line tonight, we want to look at what the Bible says determines our value, and specifically the value of a woman today, because that has been really, even above men, the value of a woman has been greatly put into question and is in great flux throughout our modern time. And so the question is, what is the value of a woman? You know, if you look at the world, you look at commercials, it might say your value is found in physical beauty. Or perhaps through other movements, they say, you know, the value of a woman is in her career, in her accomplishments, in her degrees, in her money, and how high she can break that glass ceiling, perhaps would be the word that some use. Or others say the value of a woman is found in their husband or in the boyfriend that they have. But the question for you today is, how do you determine your value in this life? You know, even if you're not a woman today, even though I believe this is a woman's prayer line, even if you're a man, this is going to be important to you, because we're going to talk about the characteristics of a virtuous woman today. And so the title of the topic today is A Wife of Noble Character Who Can Find. Now, friends, I'm not saying that you must go out and become married. In fact, Paul writes that he wishes that all were like him, which is single, because they can serve the Lord without distraction. But he also says that it's not a sin to marry, of course. But what is our value? What is the value of a woman? And how do you determine your value in this life?
Yeah, it's okay. Bye-bye.
I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. As we find out what the Bible says, we want to hear not from the world. We don't want to hear from me or even the president or these organized groups. What does Jesus say to us today. And so I'd like to look in the book of Proverbs, and I'd like to break down these verses one by one, because these are the characteristics that Christ values and he wants to reproduce in our lives. And so I'm going to begin in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. I encourage you to turn there because we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs 31 today. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. And here the Bible asks the question. It says, who can find a virtuous woman or a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. You know, the Bible values women tremendously. If you look at the ministry of Jesus, he greatly valued the worth of women. In fact, the first person, the first people to go to the tomb and spread the message of a risen Savior was who? It wasn't the men. It wasn't the disciples' friends. It was the women. It was the women met the angels in the tomb. And here it says, a virtuous wife, her worth is far above rubies. You know, your value is not found in money, hello? Friends. Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, if you could please star six your line. I thought somebody was asking a question. But if you do have a question, feel free to ask. And so it says your value here, first off, is not found in money. But it says a virtuous wife. What are the virtues that Christ wants to reproduce in us? Well, in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. The first thing it mentions is someone who is trustworthy. And I believe this applies to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're married or not married. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. You know, if you look at the 144,000, it says there is no guile in their mouths. What does that mean? One of the things it means is there is no lies, that their yes is yes, and their no is no, and they mean what they say. This, in fact, even condemns sarcasm, the jesting at others. But it specifically it talks about not bearing false witness here as well, right? It says the heart of her husband safely trusts her, meaning she is trustworthy. You know, Jesus is the way, and he's the truth and the life. And the only way for us to really be trustworthy is not found in ourselves, friends, because the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so it's only when we take the way, the truth, and the life, it's only when we take Christ into us that we can become trustworthy and true. And so the first thing Christ says is, I want you to be true. I want you to speak the truth in all things. I want you to take my life and assimilate it into your character by the power of my Holy Spirit. Look at verse 12 here, continuing on about as we search for the virtues of and the value of a true woman. It says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, in the marriage life, unfortunately, and this applies to both men and women again, that much pain is caused in the marriage life. You know what? Marriage was given to us. Was it before the fall or after the fall? It was before the fall, friends. Adam and Eve were married before there was any ever sin. And so what that means, friends, is that God intended the marriage relationship to be free from bitterness, free from hurtful words, and causing others unnecessary pain. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve never fail, what their marriage would be like? That is God's intention for marriage. And do you know what? Do you think Christ could do that? Could God perhaps even restore your marriage? I believe our God is a mighty God, and that is nothing is impossible for him. And so here it says, this wife of noble character, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life, meaning she causes no unnecessary pain. You know, Christ also caused no unnecessary pain. But sometimes his words did cut people's hearts, didn't it? Sometimes the Pharisees were offended, but he never spoke to intentionally offend someone, right? It was he always spoke in love and in the truth. But sometimes our words can cut to the heart. You know, the next verse here, it continues on about the characteristics of a godly woman. In 13, it says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She willingly works with her hands. You know what that means? It means a virtuous woman is a woman who is hardworking. She is not idle. You know, you don't have to turn there, but you could write this down if you want. The book of Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. It says this. It says, look, this was iniquity of your sister Sodom. Her and her daughters had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Now, talking about Sodom, it said they had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. It says this is the iniquity of your sister Sodom. And so idleness, laying around and not blessing others at all, is actually considered iniquity in the sight of God. Now, of course, we do need to rest. Amen. God doesn't want us to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because then we would kill ourselves. We would actually be violating the laws of health. So there is time for rest, but there is no time in this life for idleness, friends. And idleness doesn't mean just sitting in a chair and staring at the wall, but we could be very idle and not blessing others when we're busy playing, cell phone video games and things like that. These things are making us idle. This entertainment is making us idle. We're just sitting there and not blessing others. We could sit there and watch soap operas all day or television all day, and it would just make us idle, friends. I'm self-serving. And so the virtuous woman, she willingly works with her hands. She is hardworking. In verse 15, it says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Here it talks about something very simple, cooking. Have you ever considered that cooking is ministry? Do you think it is? Is it the act of blessing others as well? You know, I encourage you as homework, if you don't believe me, friends, that's okay today. If you think cooking is not important at all, I encourage you to search the spirit of prophecy and search for the word cooking or the work of a cook. And she has the spirit of prophecy through Ellen White. She has some very fascinating quotes talking about how it affects the health of the entire household. And on top of that, what affects our health also affects our mind, right? Isn't that right? I mean, if you just eat donuts all the time, your mind is going to be clogged and slow, right? And you will be more open to temptation. And so even the simple things of the work of a cook is very important. And not only that, but she also says, take your children into the kitchen and teach them how to cook as well, for it is very important. Both your sons and your daughters, I would say, friends. Because there's so many people out there, especially men or maybe college-age students. You know, they grow up in the home. They might have wonderful food, but when they go off to college, they don't know the first thing about cooking, and they're going to end up at those fast food restaurants every day, right? And so we want to train up our children in the way that they should go as well. Because what we eat affects our character. It affects our mind. And so something in verse 15, as simple as cooking, is important. Look at verse 16 here as we look at another characteristic that God wants reproduced in us. It says, speaking of this virtuous wife, she considered, or a virtuous woman, we could say if you're not married, she considers a field and buys from her profits, she plants a vineyard. What does that mean? Does it mean that women should go out and buy and sell things? Well, there's nothing wrong with that, absolutely. But I think there's a principle here as well, perhaps a deeper principle than just buying things, because anyone can go out with money and buy things, right? But it even says that she makes a profit when she plants a vineyard. What that tells me is the virtuous woman or a virtuous wife is a good economist. Now, to be good economically is not a sin. In fact, it's a blessing. We call it good stewardship, right? And stewardship is not just our tithes and offerings. It's everything we do. In fact, there was a time, and forgive me, I don't have the reference off, but there was someone who wrote to Ellen White and said, I was considering this beautiful dresser, and it costed so many dollars in furniture. And it was very nice, but it was a little expensive. And he said, I did not buy the dresser. And she said, you have done well because, I'm paraphrasing here, friends, of course. She said, you have done well because you were a steward there. This person did not buy a luxury good, right, at that time. Now, of course, it's okay to have nice things once in a while, right, friends? But there are many women out there and many men as well who are not good with their money. They are not faithful stewards. They go out and spend extravagantly. And that is not what Christ wants us to do. We are not to store up treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But above all things, above all of investing your money in, say, the stock market or investments or even companies or businesses or farms or lands, above all things, we should store up our treasure in heaven, meaning using the money that we have to reach souls for the kingdom of God, because that has eternal value. Now, friends, you know, one more thing I want to say about being a good economist. It doesn't mean, I'm trying to think of the word, perhaps, forgive the slang here, friends, but some people might say stingy or cheap. There's a difference between being a good steward and being an economist and being overly cheap or miserly, I would say. And that's found in verse 20 of this chapter. It says in Proverbs 31:20, it says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And so what that means is, although she is a good economist, she is also generous. You see, friends, I used to live down in Hollywood, California, of all places, and very close to the red carpet in a little apartment building. And across from me was this cloistered nunnery, which was owned by the Catholic Church. I don't know what a cloistered nunnery is. That's simply, it's a place for nuns, but they're cloistered, meaning they never come out of this nunnery. I never saw one of them. I suppose somebody else, maybe a Catholic priest or somebody, goes and brings food in and things like that, but they just stay inside this. It seems like a complex almost. There's metal gates and things like that. I used to walk past it. And they attempt to become holy by staying in this nunnery, by praying all the time. And I don't know what nuns do, perhaps say their rosary and things like that. And they attempt holiness in this monkish life, we could say. But that is not what Christ wants us to do, friends. You see, because that is not true love. Because true love cannot be shut up within itself. It must be spread to others. And so, although this virtuous wife or virtuous woman or virtuous person that Christ wants us to become is a good economist or a good steward, they are also generous. Because love cannot be shut up within itself. It must be shared with others. Now, if we continue on, And verse 21 here, as we look at more virtuous characteristics, verse 21, it says, she is not afraid of snow for her household. All her household is clothed with scarlet. Or as some translations say, in double clothing. And so one thing is, you know, up here where I live now in Washington State, you really do need to prepare for the winter. And so one thing is about a virtuous person, a virtuous Christ-like person, they make preparations for coming crises, coming storms. And that includes both spiritual and physical. Friends, we know that a storm is coming, relentless in its magnitude, a time of trouble such as never was, such as a nation. I mean, I can't even imagine that, friends. I don't think my mind can grab that yet. If you just look at even just the past 100 years, you look at how terrible it was in Nazi Germany. You look at how terrible it was under communist rule, and how Christianity was so persecuted. Or you look farther back when men and women of faith were burned at the stake by the Church of Babylon. You think of those terrible times, but yet a time is coming in the future when we will need a character to stand these great trials. You know, when I first read The Great Controversy, you know, the first part of The Great Controversy is not about the Sabbath too much. It talks about the Sabbath a little bit, but it's not about the state of the dead. It's not about prophecy. Although the second part, or the last 9 or 10 chapters, are what we would call present truth, right? But I often wondered, why would God inspire Ellen White to write so much about the Protestant Reformation? So many, chapter after chapter after chapter of, you know, Martin Luther and Tyndale and Huss and Jerome and others, great men of faith. And I wondered, Lord, if you want this book to go out more than others, why not just start with what the people need to know today, you know, about the Sabbath, about the state of the dead, about Revelation 13 and the beast and the Antichrist and how to avoid the mark of the beast. But she doesn't start there. And I believe one of the reasons God did this is because the first part of The Great Controversy, it talks about the character of the reformers and the faith they had, even being faithful unto death. And I believe that by beholding, we've become changed, friends. And what Christ was doing here, I believe, one of the reasons, I don't claim to know all the reasons, friends, but I believe one of the reasons is that God wanted us to see the character of men who could stand though the heavens fell. And that's what he wants to reproduce in our lives. And that's the faith we need at such a time as this, because another history is going to repeat itself, friends. Persecutions are coming because the Apostle Paul says that all who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so, friends, if you want to follow Christ, the Bible says you are guaranteed to have troubles, trials, and tribulations. But be of good cheer, friends, because Jesus has said, in this world, you will have trials or tribulations, or troubles, depending on your translation of the Bible. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, is what Jesus says. And so he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will give us the strength to endure the trials in the future, friends. And so this virtuous woman, she makes preparation for the time ahead. And if you think about it, if you think about some of the parables that Christ talked about regarding the last days, you know, the wise and foolish virgins, what is the difference between the wise and foolish virgins? One has oil and one does not, meaning one has prepared and one has not. And so, friends, the preparation time is now. I believe that we are so close to the end, friends. And if we look at it, the events are getting closer and closer, and I can hear the clock of prophecy going tick, 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 and yet so many are asleep. And now is the time to wake up, friends. Now is the time to prepare. I want to look at just a few moral characteristics here, friends. Go to verse 26 of Proverbs 31. Speaking of this virtuous woman, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, friends, we understand the power of words, especially one to another. Some people in this world today, they just long for the kindness of others. Many would come to Christ if they could only encounter true kindness, Christ-like kindness. Not flattery, friends, but Christ-like kindness. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, we can all look good in church, right? We can put on that happy Sabbath smile and wear that modest long skirt or beautiful suit. And I was at a church one time many years ago down in California, and I was at a potluck, and there was a lady, and older lady, and she said she was talking about her husband, what he was in the potluck line or somewhere else. And she says, you know, he is exactly the same in church and in the home. And I was so young at the time, I didn't really understand that. But now I understand that. And I say, wow, what a beautiful compliment of her husband. And what a wonderful testimony, because he was a kind man in church. And friends, how is it with us? How is it with our household? You know, we can be a saint on Sabbath, but we can be a devil in the home. And this is not pleasing to Christ, friends. And so today we have to consider, what are our words to our spouse, to our children, to our mother, or to our father, to our brother, or to our sister? What are our words like? Is the law of kindness on our lips? Or today, do we need to humble our hearts and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? You know, even the prophet Isaiah, we think about, wow, if the Lord chose you to be a prophet, you must be really holy, right? But what did the prophet Isaiah say when he was called? He said, woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord of glory. What did God do when he confessed his sins? You know, God called him, but there he had to first confess his sins, isn't that right? And when he confessed his sins, what did the angel do? He took tongs from the altar and he put it to Isaiah's lips, and he said, see, your iniquity has been taken away. And that's what Christ will do with us, friends. If we have spoken wrong words to others, perhaps in our home or at work or among our family, if we confess our sins, God is so faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so today, if you have been saying the wrong words to someone, if you have harbored bitterness in your heart, you can take your sins not to other people, but directly to God. And he will forgive you if you are willing to humble your heart. Because a humble and contrite heart, God will not despise. And so, friends, we need the law of kindness on our lips, on our tongue. A few more things here, friends. Verse 28. In fact, I want to go to verse 27 and verse 28. It says of Proverbs 31, verse 27, this virtuous wife, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. It says she watches over the ways of her household, meaning she knows what's going on with her children, if she has any. Her children rise up and call her blessed. You know, being a stay-at-home mother is almost looked down upon in modern secular society today. Isn't that right, friends? There is this great encouragement to go out into the workforce. And if you're in the workforce, there's nothing wrong with that as well. But the Bible, it's almost, in fact, it's not almost, it is countercultural to our society today. In fact, keep a finger in Proverbs 31, but I want to go to the book of Titus chapter 2. Please go to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. And, you know, in this world today, if you say, I'm a homemaker or I'm a stay-at-home mother, it's almost looked down upon. But in Titus chapter 2, listen to the words of Paul here. In verse 1, it says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. Then verse 3, the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they admonish the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, or chaste. Homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemy. Now, if a secular person reads this, does something pop out to them? Here, Paul is saying, be a homemaker. Be obedient in Christ, in the Lord, to their husbands. You know, that's not popular among the feministic movement. Isn't that right, friends? To be a homemaker, they might all perhaps even say that Paul is trying to degrade women. And in fact, in this debate regarding ordination, they say it's about, some people are saying it's about equality. But friends, I don't think many of us understand that Christ, it is true that Christ does see women and men as equals, but he has given them different roles. And in our society, we've been trained to look at the role of a homemaker as something as low, as something not worthy or a low calling. But that is false. That is so false, friends. Because I believe that Satan hates texts like Titus 2 that call women to be homemakers. I believe the reason for that is because Satan knows that if there is no parent in the home, if no one raises up their children in the way they should go, then Satan knows that the children will depart from the faith. And so the work of a parent is very important. But even if you don't have children, the work of a homemaker is very important. But especially that work of a parent. Now, that's not my opinion, by the way. I want you to listen to the book Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 483. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 483, as we consider the work of a homemaker and how the world thinks of it as something low or not a worthy calling, whereas pushing down women. But listen to what Jesus says through the spirit of prophecy. It says this on page 483, there is a work for women that is even more important and elevating than the duties of the king upon his throne. Wow. Have you ever considered what work is that? She says, there is a work for women that is even more important and elevating than the duties of a king upon his throne, even more important than Donald Trump, even more important than the work of a president or a king. I wonder what that is. Well, continuing on in the next sentence, it says, this work of the woman, it says, they may mold the minds of their children and shape their characters, so that they may be useful in this world and that they may become sons and daughters of God. Their time should be considered too valuable to be passed in the ballroom, or we could say the dance floor today, or in needless labor. There's enough necessary and important labor in this world of need and suffering without wasting precious moments for ornamentation or display, meaning fancy dress. And so what is that great work, that high calling, above that of kings? It says to mold the minds of their children and shape their characters so that they may be useful in this world. God considers the work of a homemaker, or the work of a mother, the work of a father, the work of a parent, of greater importance than a king on his throne. That's Testimonies, Volume 3, page 483. Then listen to the next page, 484. Continuing on, it says, a neglect on the part of women to follow God's plan in her creation, an effort to reach for important positions which he has not qualified her to fill, leaves vacant the position that she could fill in acceptance. In getting out of her sphere, she loses true womanly dignity and nobility. Now that's from the Spirit of Prophecy, friends. That's not from me. So if you have a problem with those quotes, you can take it up with God, friends, not me. But I believe it's a beautiful quote. Don't you think so? A work more important than the duty of a king to mold the minds of their children. And also saying that a neglect of a woman on this part to follow God's plan in creation, to get out of her role that God has nobly set up for her, a high calling, friends, not a low calling, not an unequal calling. Christ does not demean women or put them down or make them lesser equals. Not so, friends. It is such a high calling. He said, but there's a warning. It says, if she gets out of her sphere, she loses true womanly dignity and nobility. You see, friends, Satan has a plan behind all these changes in gender roles, friends. He wants women to lose their true dignity and nobility. He wants children to become corrupt and aimless in life. And friends, the work of the mother, even above the work of the father, the work of a mother is so important. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31 as we close here, friends. Just a handful more verses and then we're done with the entire chapter and we're done today. I hope you take these things to heart today, friends. And I hope you are, if you're a mother, I hope you're encouraged today. And if you're someone looking for a wife, I hope you also, if you're a man, I hope you also read through this chapter because it has characteristics that you should look for in a spouse. But I want to finish here, friends. Listen to these last two beautiful verses of Proverbs 31. Starting in verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what, friends? Isn't that true? That beauty is passing. That even if we are considered physically beautiful today, that if Christ does not come quickly, that our beauty is going to pass away. Isn't that right? And so whether you're a man or a woman, perhaps you're single today, if you're looking for a spouse, true love looks past externals, friends, because physical beauty is passing. We know it's beautiful. I love to see couples who have been married for, like my parents have been married over 50 years, friends. Isn't that a beautiful thing to see people in Christ together? Although they might not be as physically beautiful as they were in their 20s when they got married, their characters are beautiful. And their love has only grown in Christ one for another. And that's what God wants. You see, the world says your value comes in money. It comes in physical beauty. It comes in who you know. It comes in your power. It comes in your position. But all those things are lies, friends. Because you might not have any of those things. You might not have money. You might not have physical beauty. But how is value determined? You know, we consider value based on what someone is willing to pay. And so I have just one last question for you today, friends. What was Christ willing to pay for you? He was willing to pay everything, including his own life. You see, friends, your value is determined based on what someone will pay for you. And Christ gave everything. The spirit of prophecy says that all heaven was poured out in one gift of Christ giving to you. Christ sees in you great value. And your value is not in physical beauty or money or power or position. He says, God says, your value is in your character. Because you see, friends, character is the only thing that we get to take to heaven. We get to take our character and those who have come to Christ. That's the only things we're taking to heaven, friends. Everything else in this world is going to burn up one day. And so today, perhaps, you have realized some faults in your character. Perhaps the law of kindness has not been on your lips. Perhaps you're not trustworthy or hardworking. Perhaps you are not generous or economical. Perhaps you are, perhaps you have been chasing after the things of this world and trying to find your value in the things of this world. But today Christ is making an appeal to you. Perhaps you are a mother and you felt that your work is not of high value. You feel in your home you are not appreciated as you are. But just remember that quote, friends, that the work of a mother is higher than that of a king on his throne. What a noble calling. And so as the world is confused about the roles of men and women today, we see that what Christ has called the woman to today, the mother of the household, is such a high calling, the highest calling, friends. And so I appeal to you today, do not neglect your calling, whatever that may be. Perhaps the Lord has called you to be single, and that's fine. Perhaps the Lord has called you to be a missionary, you know, to the Lord. That's beautiful. Or perhaps the Lord has called you to be a mother in your own household. And if you are lacking certain qualities, today I beg of you, ask the Lord in the time of the latter rain, and he shall pour out his spirit on you today, friends. Humble your heart. Humble yourself before the throne of God, and he will lift you up. Is that your will today, to become a virtuous wife or a virtuous woman or a virtuous man? If that is your will today, would you please bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, perhaps we have been guilty of neglecting our duties, our simple duties in life that we have looked down upon. But Lord, we have failed to recognize our great calling. And Lord, today we ask that you lift us up and help us to meet the great calling, even in our own homes, Lord, to be missionaries in our home. Please, Lord, give us courage, give us strength, create in us clean hearts, O God. Renew a right spirit within us. If our words have not been right, please, Lord, cleanse us from the altar of your grace, like you did with the prophet Isaiah. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement. We also ask that you take away the confusion in our minds, because what the world is telling us is often a lie of the devil. And Lord, help us to stand in true manhood or true womanhood and true dignity in Christ by the power of your spirit alone, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Will, for that presentation. I really appreciate it. I'm sure everyone can relate. Well, all the moms or the ladies here. And thank you so much for sharing that. I see Sister Josie on the line. I wonder if she's on. So,
yes, I'm on.
Okay.
Yes, I'm on.
Yes, would you be able to take over?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm so sorry. I was late. But anyway, I have to continue. Thank you for this beautiful message that we have heard today, Brother Will. I'm definitely blessed, and I'm sure every one of us are blessed. As mothers here, we all have learned from this message that you, from the Word of God that you have given to us tonight. And our prayer, my prayer is that we may all be a virtuous woman that is being described here in this Bible, that we may be ready to serve the Lord the best way that He wants us to. Thank you. We are now going to our question and answer. If you have any comments or questions, please start with your line. Okay. Area code 608. Welcome to the line, Sister Joni.
Yes. Good evening, Sister Josie and everyone. Good evening. Thank you so much for your presentation. It was really a blessing. We don't hear many talks like this, really. And, you know, the mother's life can be a very difficult one. But it doesn't have to be when you have your husband by your side. And, it was just beautiful. What you presented was very beautiful. I hope people will get the tape and or tell people the CD to go back and I think women need a lot more encouragement. I have more young adults now, but I homeschooled 4 young children. And, it just seems we're all so scattered, it's hard to get the encouragement. So before I was converted, I would have never probably did all that I did after coming into the Adventist Church and that. But I'm so thankful to God to show the true meaning of womanhood and motherhood and God is so good. We're so blessed with the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. So really appreciate your message tonight. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord for his work.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Joni. Do we have any other comments or questions? Yes, we have to, maybe we all need to, as mothers, we all need to read this and to do what God wants us to do. Okay, while we're waiting and people are gathering their thoughts, let me read our memory verse. For the month of July, we have service. The theme is service, and in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Yes, we have to minister not only to other people, but to our own, like Brother Will said, to our own family, to our children, husband, and our loved ones, even our relatives. We have to be Christ-like so that they can see in us a virtuous woman. Okay, I don't see any question. If you have prayer requests, you can also give your prayer request now. And I thank you, Brother Will, for giving this message tonight that is so important for us to imitate. Okay, please pray for our, I know all of us here have some loved ones. We have some unspoken requests, but we have children and grandchildren who have departed they went on their own way. We ask you to pray for them so that they will come back to the fold before probation closes. As we know, the time is very near. We are almost ready to get out of this world because of these iniquities that abounds. Okay, you can see our Sister Pat's long list and our prodigals and, okay, our secret unspoken prayer. Please, if you have any closing remarks, Brother Will, and closing prayer for us. We'll appreciate it.
Sure. I just want to, if anyone would like to have a request, a prayer request, please feel free to star 6 your line. If not, would you please, if you're able, kneel, but if not, would you please at least bow your heads as we pray?
Okay. Sister Pat, just area code 305, go ahead, please.
Yes, good day. Thanks so much for the message, Brother Will. It was quite inspiring. And I trust that we all will be able to go back and listen again. I have to do that. I didn't get it all. I started from the beginning. But my prayer request is for the Lord to work some miracles for me tomorrow. I have some business I have to wrap up with before I leave for ESI. And then God will work it out for me. And also for Sheldon in Trinidad, my adopted son. He's leaving on Friday. He got a job on a ship going to Nevis and Saint Kitts for protection. And for me, a friend of mine is trying to locate somebody in Saint Kitts or Nevis, so I could give him the number, so at least when they reach, I think, Sabbath, they leave in on Friday, at least he will have somebody to reach out to in those little countries when he get there, and for the Lord to work miracles for him to get through that little eating place he wants to start next to his home to teach the health message, which is so important down there in the island. You know, the people still using a lot of flesh food and need missionaries down there to teach them and to help them to understand the time that we're living in, and for the Lord to work on my mother, that she would stop worrying and leave everything in God's hand and know that he would work it out for her while she sees best. And for Connie, that God will help her to get Brian, this person she's helping, to get him quickly to her home so he can be taken care of better, because the driving up and down is the distance. And for Nick to not go on the property, that Brian will be able to tell him, because he wouldn't want to move if Brian should die, and that will be complicated for Connie. That's what she needs to build, something to live. And that's what that Nick is trying to get. He already cut down so many things, trees, and he didn't ask anybody permission. So pray that God will give Connie wisdom, knowledge, how to deal with this man. You know, he's not of the faith, and I guess he wants to overpower Connie. And for the Lord to be with me as I go to ESI, that he works some miracles for me, that everything will be successful, and I'll be able to get back here and continue the process that I'm going through, and for God to guide and direct what is happening with this Osvago and my mother and her lawyer, that he will lead and direct and not have my mother just going along with what this attorney is saying to her, just misleading her all these years. And she's not seen it, taking advantage, because she is an older lady. So these are all my other prayer requests. I have a list, as the moderator say, a long list, but it's a prayer line. And we need to pray. Much prayer, much power. And for God to continue to bless the crusade in my hometown in Trinidad. So last week, that many will give their lives to God and see that time is coming to an end and surrender to God. And the members of the church do all they can to encourage these new believers and be a witness. thank you so much, and may God bless your ministry and continue the work you're doing, edifying God's people, wherever we have an opportunity. Thank you.
Amen. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, area code 310, Sister Miranda. Okay, go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you, Brother Will, for your inspiring message this afternoon. It's really something that we all need to hear. Thanks again. I would like for you to pray for my daughter, Priscilla, who is traveling tomorrow morning, that she'll have a safe flight. And I have an unspoken request. Thank you so much. God bless you and your ministry. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Operator.
Thank you, Sister Miranda. Okay. At this time, we'll ask Brother Will to give us a closing prayer, please.
Hi.
Please.
Yes. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that for the privilege of prayer, that we can come before you and take all of our burdens and cares to you. Lord, we want to pray for our family members, for our children, for our parents, Lord, that they may be strengthened in the faith. And if we do have family members that do not yet know you, that they come to know you. Lord, help us to be wonderful witnesses in our homes, among even our families and neighbors. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have been unkind, even to our own family members. And give us a mouth without guile. Give us love, kindness by your grace. Lord, I pray for the people in Trinidad, for the missionary work that is being done there. I pray for the North American Division leadership and the upcoming council meeting, that you guide your people, Lord, and may your will be done in all things. Lord, I pray for just even the simple things, Lord. I believe Sister Pat has some simple preparation business that she had to take care of. And Lord, we thank you that you are always with us to help us, even in the small things, that these small things matter to you. And Lord, we ask for your help in even the everyday duties of life. Lord, we ask for the unspoken requests that were mentioned. We know that you know every detail, even greater than ourselves. And we thank you that you are here to help us. We ask for your intervention by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your Spirit that you have given to your people. Lord, I want to pray for Connie and Nick. That sounds like there is some conflict, that there is some a difficult situation. Pray especially for Nick, that he comes to know you, and Lord, that you give Connie wisdom through every situation, that she can represent you rightly. Lord, I pray for the prodigals, the prodigal lifts. I thank you that you care about each and every soul on this planet, Lord, that there is no one out of your reach of your love, and that you are still wooing every heart today, and that you have given us a short time of probation still to choose what is right. And we pray that you bring many who have perhaps walked away from you to come back, to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. May they see your love somehow, Lord. Maybe it be through us, through another church member, or somehow by your providence, Lord, we ask that you continue to send your Holy Spirit and your angels to bring about experiences in these people's lives, that they may come to know you again. Lord, I want to pray for everyone who's traveling on Some are going to ASI. Some are going to the camp meeting coming up in a week or two. That you give them safe travels, that you work out everything to your glory, that you even create divine appointments as people are traveling on planes or on buses or whatever their means, that you use us to be witnesses for you, to your glory, even before we get to our destinations, Lord. I want to pray for specifically for Priscilla, that you grant safe travels. And Lord, I pray for everyone on this prayer line. Perhaps we did not share something on during the prayer request time, but you know the burdens of our hearts and the burdens of our families and the things that we ourselves struggle with and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And Lord, we ask that you give us strength, victory, and the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for the upcoming camp meeting again, that you guide many people there, not just Adventists, Lord, but many people who need to know your truth as well at such a time as this. Help us to be the people that you want us to become through faith in you. Lord, we need your help desperately. So please, Lord, help us, we pray. And we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.